Good morning on Tuesday, July 7th, 2015. This is Brian Madden, and you are listening to a BrianMadden.com live podcast. I'm sitting in our studio in San Francisco along with Jack Madden. Hello.
Good morning, Brian.
And it's just us today, and we're going to talk about mobility. But first, I want to discuss why when I touch this thing, it electrocutes me. It buzzes. Should that happen? I grab my microphone, and it definitely sends like shivers through my...
Just don't touch it.
As any good IT person... Is that static? What is that? Cray. all right. Anyway, so this is interesting. So here's how this is going down today. Gabe is on vacation, and there's a conversation I've been wanting to have with Jack for a long, long time around enterprise mobility. And so we're going to treat this, Jack. We didn't discuss this ahead of time, but like it's my show. You're the guest.
Right. Okay. Right?
So, Jack... So here's the backstory. So give me like 2 minutes to go into this. So I've been doing, desktop IT for 20 years, and I'm a quote unquote desktop guy. So, a desktop applications, desktop deployment, Windows management. And I'm one of these guys who believes that Windows applications are what run enterprises. And while all of these newer sort of web-based SaaS mobile apps are certainly awesome, for the most part, they're not displacing Windows applications. They're just being added in addition to Windows applications. So this whole idea of like, oh, Windows is dead. The future is mobile and touch and everything. I think, yeah, maybe on the consumer side, when your applications are like really more like websites or more basic things like, photo editor and word processing and that kind of stuff. But in enterprises, we have these big enterprise applications, which are, built over the past 20 or 30 years. They're duct tape, chewing gum, glue, just like really stuck together, all these different, it's like a Rube Goldberg device, the way this app touches this thing, it hooks this and, all that kind of stuff. So now, obviously, mobile is huge. Everyone's got iPhones and Android phones, and they want to do as much as they can from their mobile devices. And we've done a pretty good job, not we, but like the industry is, the easy apps, like you have on mobile devices. You've got your office editing, you've got access to files, although even access to files, like, it's kind of hit and miss as to whether you can actually do anything with that file. Like if you just connect Dropbox to your iPhone, maybe half the files in there, you can do something with on the iPhone, other half of the files. About all you can do is attach it to an email and send it to someone, but you can't like .tgz. What are you going to do with that? Like all this kind of stuff. And obviously we have also the same, like all the newer applications that have come out since iPhones, like Twitter and photo sharing and all that kind of stuff is all there. That's kind of, the background. We have mobile management. So my question is this, and here's how I want to frame the conversation. For the past 10 years, we've been talking about managing mobile devices, and we can do all the, like, if you look at an EMM product today and like flip the box over and read the tick marks in the back of the box, it does things like encryption and remote wipe and, blacklisting or whitelisting and, device enrollment and pushing out new apps to users and that kind of stuff. And I feel like that's what these mobile vendors can solve today. And that like sort of ticks an important box. And a lot of people are like, oh, just buy some mobile software and we're going to, we can encrypt our phones and we can remote wipe them and that kind of stuff. But I would question it, like, is that the real problem that enterprises sort of need solved? And the reason I ask that is because, like, none of those things help me get my Windows apps on my mobile devices. And I don't think that VDI and ZenApp is the answer because, just taking Windows application and putting it on a mobile device is a bad user experience. So it's not that I want to use my Windows app on a mobile device per se, but it's the business stuff I want to do is typically locked up in Windows, desktop, chewing gum, Rube Goldberg application type environments. And the enterprise mobile solutions offer things like encrypting and remote wiping my phone, which is great. And that like I can check a box and say, hey, if the phone gets lost, it's not my fault, it was encrypted. But that doesn't really solve, I think, what I want to solve as a desktop guy. So that's the 5 minute. There's like, you're caught up now with my worldview of mobile. I've been doing desktop, so I'm a desktop guy forever. I'll call it like a mobile guy.
A mobile, yeah.
Yeah, you've been four years covering the mobile space. Give me your worldview right now.
Yeah, so my worldview. So look at what we want to do. So for years, mobility meant mobility meant BlackBerries, and mobility meant email and messaging and communications. And so stepping just back a few minutes or back a few years, like our first challenge in mobile in 2008, 2009, 2010 is like, of course, first of all, then there was just the like, hey, can we even secure and manage these things? And the answer for a long time has been, yes, we can do the checkboxes and secure it six ways from Sunday, to use a little bit of a colloquialism. And then, of course, the big next challenge that the mobile industry faced was, hey, these iPhones and Android devices are way different than dealing with BlackBerries, because these iPhones have all these users' personal applications on them, and their photos and their Angry Birds and their personal devices. So suddenly we have to deal with the fact that there's both work and personal stuff, the multi-tenancy challenge, the two constituencies that have completely different ideas about what they want to do with their phone and how they want it to be managed and everything. And so that issue came up, and that issue would be I consider that to be largely solved as well. We have the concepts are well known. There are diverse technologies in how to solve that issue. And so these two issues, just being able to manage the device and just realizing this work and personal concept that we have to deal with. This is something this started out with a presentation that I gave at Citrix Synergy, when I was like, hey, you know, this stuff is actually pretty mature. We may not be completely down the path, but if you look at iOS, the consistency, like, we know about iOS 9 now. Like, this whole, like, new mobile stuff, it's not that new anymore, because we're talking about 9. Can we just take a second and, like, be impressed with that?
Well, I got Windows 10, so I'm just saying.
And then on the Android side, well, Android for work is just slowly rolling out. We have, like, finally the big change that we need to make Android consistently manageable and consistently work and personal separation enabled across the industry. So let's just take wow, I really do feel like a pundit right now, saying, like, hold on, before we get too far into this conversation, let's acknowledge how far we've come with both of those technologies.
Okay, but so now how far? So mobile's not new, but the questions are, because I don't know how many people out there are like me, where, you know, again, like, I'm a desktop guy, and the mobile, you know, I feel like there are some enterprises who have specifically enabled certain subsets of their users to be mobile forward, you know, so there's some things where, like, the mobile thing is a big part of your business. You know, airline flight attendants are having mobile devices to do all the in-cabin management, and, you know, insurance adjusters have mobile devices to fill out accident reports and take photos and that kind of. So there's some things that where mobile devices are, you know, built, like, their task is built around the mobile device.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
In the enterprise, it seems to me, the vast majority of users, it's like they do their work, quote unquote, on laptops, and the mobile device they have for, like, email.
Yeah. And, well, since they have that mobile device for email, I mean, I use our company as an example. Hey, look, we have email on our mobile devices. We have Salesforce. Reps tell me that they use the Salesforce app, and it's great to have. We use Box now. We had the email, like, everybody, clean out your T drive, because it's all going to be in Box now.
Oh,
and by the way, you can get it on your phones, and you don't have to be on the VPN to get it.
Yeah,
look at us.
Yeah, but we are not using enterprise mobility management.
Right.
And so that gets another conversation that, you know, you and I have, like, is there value in again, God, this whole thing is. Can we do a video podcast at air quotes? just do. Can you do anime GIFs? All right, like make an anime GIF of me doing this.
Right. So you're going to ask like if we're this far, then where's the value of EMM software? Like why how have we gotten this far without going out and buying AirWatch or Mobile Iron or Citrix or whatever?
Yeah. And to be fair, I'm not like dogging you because I started my career before Citrix as an SMS guy. Now SCCM, and that allowed us to completely manage the desktops. And in terms of, again, just making sure that the apps are installed and having just inventory and patching and all that kind of stuff. And what percentages of businesses are using desktop management software? And I mean, it's probably more than using mobile today, but it's also 20 years old.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's not everyone.
Yeah.
So because you could argue, hey, managing the desktop, what does that give you? I mean, really, I need to manage the apps and... maybe you could argue that, and that's actually how I got into Citrix in the first place in 97, was that, oh, we'll just manage the apps on our, WinFrame server, our ZenUp server nowadays, and just push those app icons out to any desktop, and like, I don't really care. I don't have to manage the desktop because the desktop is nothing. Like, I just manage the apps. So mobile, too. I'm not saying this is, like, bad for mobile, but I am saying TechTarget. Oh, by the way, when you say, so Jack and I work for TechTarget, and it's 700 people, offices around the world, and that's when we say our company, we got Salesforce, we got Box, we have... I don't know, Exchange, ActiveSync, or whatever, and so
obviously, there are a lot of companies right now that they're completely comfortable doing nothing, and so it's like this first wave of MDM and EMM, the ones like that were really sweating the iPhone in 2007, 8, and 9.
This is like AirWatch, Mobile Iron. Is that we're saying like Zen, Mobile? Who else is there?
Good.
IBM.
So of course, like you have a first wave that, like, hey, they just have to do MDM or EMM or containerized email for security because they have their regulatory needs to do that.
Which to correct the correction,
yeah.
They don't have to do MDM for security. They have to do MDM for regulations under the guise of security.
Yeah. So obviously, if you're in that boat, obviously you probably got around to addressing the problem by now already, or maybe you could be just getting around.
If you got regulated,
But
that's whatever percentage of worldwide enterprise users. It's some small percent. There's 10% or whatever who have regulatory reasons, or their interpretations of the regulations are that they have to do MDM. And so they've done that. So that's like, okay. So
I feel like all of this conversation so far has been like, it's been last 5 years today or last 20 years to today. But the next half is going forward, and I consider, so like the next wave of EMM and MDM, and your question was sort of, what does it do for us? Why would I want it? And it's as we move into the new world of just how end user computing is done in the new world, and when there are more mobile applications, and when our desktops are treated much more like mobile devices, it sort of becomes a foundational component of coordinating all of that. Like when, so right now we have like company issued apps. We have Salesforce and Dropbox and Concur, and those are all like you go and find those in the app store, and they're all right there. But of course, that's not always going to be the way things are. As we have many more applications and. Or companies that have in-house applications or just more obscure apps, and suddenly you have to get this app to this users and everything. Or you want to say like, hey, we want to get this Wi-Fi profile on this device or configure the email on this device. Suddenly, hey, it becomes really useful to have that that EMM layer to slide in between there to sort of be the foundation of the new world, if you will. And so if that's starting to sound a little bit nebulous and abstract, Let's think about what the EMM layer is becoming, because it's not just MDM to push an app to a device and make a device have a passcode. As MDM has evolved, we've seen like what the whole new world of end user computing becomes. So it's MDM to interface with the management APIs on the devices. It's mobile app management to interface with management APIs in applications and to configure applications. So suddenly, like, you know, you get that Salesforce app or something and you don't have to put in all your company information. It just comes down to your device and it's there. It's an app store to push all sorts of or make available all sorts of other apps to employees on their mobile devices and all of their web apps, and suddenly getting their applications to other devices. It becomes this whole like EMM is merging with this whole idea of like this workspace idea. I'm making air quotes again, but you know we've been seeing the demos from Citrix and VMware of like, here's your workspace. It looks kind of the same on any device, and there are links to remote Windows apps. There are links to web apps. There are links to apps that run natively on whatever platform you happen to be on. And so it's more like we're not just talking MDM anymore. Going forward, it's like this is how end user computing works,
and this is how do you even call them EMM vendors, the mobility vendors? This is how they break up their products, right? Because Citrix, I remember listening to one of their earnings calls, it was probably two or three quarters ago, but they were talking about, you know, I guess all vendors have like a cheap version and an expensive version of their mobile software, right?
Yeah.
And the cheap version is like kind of classic MDM, just
push an MDM, push a config profile and
remote wipe.
Yeah.
Encryption,
yeah.
Device lock, that kind of
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah. Which having said that, and this is probably an issue that I'll touch on later if you ask me about my favorite sandbox issues or soapbox issues, that the MDM APIs that are in the mobile operating systems are so much more complex now, and things that were once the province of strictly third-party applications are now built directly into the mobile operating system. So even if you're doing very basic MDMs, if you build a very basic MDM server, as long as you know what all the latest commands and latest like switches that you can build. And so for iOS, this is in theory a relatively straightforward process. Like the next version of iOS comes out and you're like, well, we have these controls, and now, of course it's much more complex than that, but it's kind of
like the desktop equivalency of like a registry, where so group policy applies different registry keys, and because you can use registry keys to turn menus on and off and functions on and off and disable right click and do all sorts of security type things.
Yeah.
And so instead of using some kind of, you know, semantic security manager, you know, 1994 product, you know, you could just spend a weekend with some scripting and throw together something that just flipped all those bits for you.
Yeah, and suddenly in iOS, as of the last couple of versions of iOS, this means that, hey, you can say that, okay, these certain domains are always going to use the VPN, or like this app is going to use the VPN, and you're not going to be able to like exfiltrate attachments from this corporate email inbox, or even like, so say it's one of those domains that uses the VPN. If you download a file from that, you can't open it in your personal Gmail app and stuff like that. And
right.
all of that is just built into iOS now.
And Android, wasn't there some kind of announcement like from Samsung or something like 6 months ago that Samsung had made some advanced API stuff and they were going to check that into the Android core or something like that?
Yeah. So I guess if you want like the 30-second version of the Android EMM world.
Yeah.
So the 30-second of the Android EMM world is that essentially that for many years Android only had the very most basic management APIs built into the core, you know, plain Android open source project that all of the individual phone makers take and modify. So what would happen, because that was so so basic, the phone makers, they would add in all their own extra management APIs. One example of those programs was Samsung. It used to be called Samsung Safe, and it was basically just their more advanced management APIs. And then there was Samsung Knox, which incorporated some more work and personal separation features. And also Knox involved like having some hardware attestation of the device.
I'm sorry, I don't know what that means. Hardware attestation.
Like secure trusted boot and stuff.
Okay.
Like that was great for Samsung devices, but of course between all the different Android devices, like they all had different APIs. So what you could do on a Samsung device, like what you could do on a Galaxy S5 was different than what you could do on a Galaxy S3. Which was different from what you could do on a Motorola versus an HTC. So obviously that's a huge mess. So the Google people at, you know, working on Android, they're like, okay, obviously it's time to have a great big fixing of Android or bringing it up to improve the management APIs in the base version.
Because when you were doing your mobility road, well, I mean you're still doing these road shows, but I haven't seen one of your road shows in like a year or two. But like 2 years ago when I saw your road show, if I can summarize mobility, like enterprise mobility, it was on iOS it's awesome, on Android good luck, man.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
Obviously Google, that's not in Google's interest.
Yeah. So by putting all of the like the more advanced MDM APIs and the work and personal separation frameworks as part of the base version of Android, that raises the bar for all devices. Now, of course,
did they do that yet? Or like what is – okay, current Android is Lollipop. Is that right? Or is Lollipop just coming?
Lollipop is available on some devices. Like if you have your Nexus or whatever, it should be upgraded to that. But of course, it's definitely a slow rollout process. So all of this greatness and all of this great stuff that we're talking about, that was a year ago when it was first announced. The Android for Work, the MDM improvements, and it's like just barely rolling out. So like. Give it towards the end of 2015.
But Android for Work and all that stuff is Lollipop, or it's like all the stuff that's being built into the core of Android.
It's in 5.1.
Okay. Oh, geez. So I'm looking at I just Googled this while you were talking, and Lollipop it says 5.0 to 5.1.1. So even like the version numbers and names don't really add up. Like Froyo is 2.2 to 2.2.3. Gingerbread is 2.3 to 2.3.7.
Yeah, it's all kind of...
Jelly Bean is 4.1 to 4.3.1. Kit Kat's 4.4 to 4.4W.2. Lollipop... So you're saying it's this stuff is in 5.1. So it's possible that could be Lollipop or could not be Lollipop based on their, like... Why did they? What the F, man? Like, this is a side note, but like, what?
I should be saying like, what the F about like, man, you Windows people, what have you been doing for years?
I'm like running the world.
Yeah,
making billions of dollars. Curing polio.
And of course, so it has to go through. Yeah, so. So it's bottom line. It's not going to be like snap my fingers and suddenly Android EMM is fixed.
Okay, but a year ago, so Samsung and Google announced that some of the technology that Samsung had made that was proprietary. So parts of Knox, parts of Safe, parts of whatever else, they're going to roll into the Android core. But my question is that's not yet even like that's just starting to come out into the Android core. And like still, if you're trying to manage Android devices today.
Oh yeah, today, yeah, it's still just as annoying as I was talking about in those right. in those events a year and a half ago.
But it's good. It's going to be good.
You're definitely correct.
Yeah.
Let's say, you know, I'm sure by when we're talking about these enterprise devices where like we We care about the work and personal separation. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, say these users are – it's in iOS now, yeah. It's been in iOS for
– Since, like, 7 or something?
Yeah. So let's say, okay, so these Android devices, they're being refreshed every 18 months or whatever. So let's have a conversation around, like, the end of 2016. Hey, these things take time.
Okay, so welcome to the enterprise, my son.
yeah, exactly.
So what's iOS 8? I'm kind of all over the place. Like, iOS 9 is the new. So iOS 8 is the current iOS, right?
Yeah.
And iOS 9 is like September or something.
Yeah. It was announced like what month is it? It was announced back at the Worldwide Developer Conference.
Yeah.
Most of the stuff in iOS 9 is. Like, a lot of the improvements that Apple has been concentrating on for iOS in the last year and a half or so have to do with things like the device enrollment program, the volume purchase program, and these are things, especially the device enrollment program is basically designed for companies that are buying lots of devices. So do you remember a year and a half ago when there was that big quote, scandal, unquote, because the LA school district, they bought these millions of dollars worth of iPads and students were, quote, hacking, unquote, their iPads to remove all the restrictions so they can go.
Which was just what? Factory resetting it and then doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, those are some good hackers there. Just hold down the power button for like 10 seconds. And, yeah.
So essentially the device enrollment program prevents stuff like that because, you know, Apple, they like, well, who really knows what their vision, but they're a lot of people.
Their vision is not involving 10-year-olds.
Yeah.
Hacking their devices.
Well, like their vision is like according to some people, iPads is the new, like, they're the iPads in the cockpits, and there's an iPad as the point of sale and an iPad, you know, for your field worker in like a nice case with a handle on the back. And so for all of those use cases, you need those like mass configuration, mass deployment, the things to lock it down to prevent a worker from just erasing it and walking away with it.
Can they nowadays, can a corporation buy an application and put it on a user's device and then later take it away? You know what I'm saying? So let's say that we decide.
So just like push an app to a device and then later.
But yeah, to pull pay it away. For it, right? Like, because maybe that's not even a use case, but like, there's some apps that cost money, and that's fine. But and if I want to use that at my company, you know, I don't want you to buy that app and then expense it, and then it's like, quote, yours, and then you quit, and it's still stuck in your Apple like account forever.
Yeah,
it'd be cool if I could just, as a company, say I bought 5 copies of these, and it's on these 5 users. But if you quit, I can sort of like. Take it away from you.
Yes, they are reassignable.
Is that now today, or that's in iOS 9?
They've been reassignable since like the last big wave. Like the last big wave of improvements actually rolled out between 7 and 8. Don't completely quote me on all the exact dates and everything. But they've been reassignable for like approximately a year now.
Okay. Getting back.
So that's sort of like the state of because we were talking about like the way things were and EMM and MDM in the old world, and then we were talking the state of Android and the state of iOS. So okay. New world moving forward.
Okay. Yeah. Now, but I'm still, you know, my fundamental question is still about. Whether or not this is solving the issues we need to solve. And it sounds to me, based on what you're saying about the mobile sort of management today, that for mobile apps, it does what we want it to do, especially iOS. Like,
we have the management tools.
Yeah. Like, I love saying that there is a work environment, and this work, like, I can lasso the quote work environment on iOS, and I don't know if this is iOS 8 or coming in iOS 9, but the idea is I can lasso it and say, hey, I only want data in work apps to share data with other work apps. So like OpenIn and sharing, copy pasting, and all that stuff only works between the apps that I've set at work. And I can say all these apps are work apps, and then they can just all. You have sort of, it's almost like parallel kind of side-by-side iPhones. The app icons are still all commingled in the device and all that kind of stuff. But when I do, if I have Box and I say this Box is a work app, I can copy files out of Box into my work email client, but I can't copy into my Gmail client. That sounds like that's good.
Yeah.
And because this is built in OS, it can now work with any app. So in the old days, there was always, we had to make like custom apps to work with these extensions and all that stuff. But that's all done now, right? That's all gone?
There are some issues in that. And so that's another, I don't know if you want to address that later or.
No, it's like, yeah. So issues in the concept of what I'm saying or in the way it works?
In the way it works.
The concept is good, right?
Yeah. The concept is good. So the thing with mobile app management today is that we basically have two ways of doing it. We can use these frameworks that you were just describing that are part of the device software that are in iOS that are coming into Android via Android for Work, or we can have that work in separation, personal separation, by building all of the controls that we need into the application itself. So obviously there are some trade-offs there. If you use the stuff that's built into the device, yes, you can put any app into that framework because it's like the device is there just like a bucket with a separation built in. And so any app from the App Store, you just put it in. Except currently to use those device frameworks, you have to be managing the device with MDM, which is still in people are going to argue it all sorts of different ways, but still, especially when it comes to BYOD, it's still a debatable – it's still not a solved issue. Not everyone wants to manage – to have their device be managed.
Although could an argument be made that this is – even though, yes, it's still device management, like device-wide kind of like ownership by whoever's managing it, if this allows you to set these more restrictive controls to only certain applications, not the whole device. So it's not as bad – like – If these restrictions were in place for the whole device, people might revolt against having their device be managed. But if now these restrictions are only being used to restrict certain applications, maybe people don't mind as much.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that the like the device password is still at the it's always at the device level.
Wouldn't it be cool if they could make it on just when you finally wanted to switch back to one of those apps? Does that exist? Or is that That'd be awesome, though, right? Like, if I want to have a quick four-digit password on just a four-digit passcode to unlock my device, I can use all my own apps. But then once I further go into the business apps, I have to like domain log in or something like that.
Yeah, so that's not a part of iOS right now.
Okay. Or iOS 9 either is not
right. Right. So if you want that, you can build that into your applications.
But now you need special applications that are compiled to work with the – so this is where you're going to like Mobile Iron or AirWatch or Citrix or whatever.
Or any of the – right, because many of these vendors that do mobile app management, they can do mobile app management via the device APIs or through their SDKs and app wrapping and stuff. So like aside from like maybe users just don't want the inconvenience, there are some – there are some other issues, like you can right now with iOS, you can only enroll a device to one management server at a time. So if you're a contractor that works for multiple companies, that's not going
to
work.
You could almost argue that you should, for it to work in theory, you should let there be like multiple instances of applications that are each managed by someone else. Like that might – like it's hairy, I'm saying, but like if I'm TechTarget and I say, hey, you know, if you want to use the TechTarget apps, you know, you hit this link or whatever, and then we're giving you – here's your TechTarget email and your TechTarget Box and your TechTarget Concur and your TechTarget Salesforce, and they're just all together. But I don't want it to be, oh, well, you're using Box with a different client, and the Box is already hooked into that one. And
like, there are a few apps out there now, like, you can have – there are a few apps that out there now that support work and personal accounts within the same application.
Kind of like the way Twitter or Slack can do, like team switching
and
stuff.
Can have like multiple accounts, yeah. And yeah, yeah.
But that'd be tough because then those have to hook in with some API. Like, so Slack would have to know, hey, when I'm on the tech target team, I'm not allowed to copy out or share like one set of open of share in or whatever it's called. And if I'm on the Brian Madden team, there's a different set of sharing.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's like iOS, that'll be coming, I'm sure, at some point.
They're doing that, but that's an implemented in the app thing right now.
Right.
So like I was saying, so the other type of mobile app management that we have is, of course, just building whatever you want into the app itself. And this is great because since you have full control of the app, you can add encryption in the app that's not dependent on the device. Mm-hmm. People talk about building, like circle the horses and damn the torpedoes, to mix metaphors there. If your seasonal contractor or your partner were like managing their devices out of the question and it's just BYOD, maybe you have a policy that you don't let your app run on a jailbroken device. But also you just assume that, like, who really knows? It's an unknown device, so we're just going to build all of our protections as much as we can into the app itself. Now, of course, that means that we're talking about a special app.
Yeah. So is jailbreaking still a thing? I don't even,
It's a really big thing in China.
where the government jailbreaks your phones for you, I assume.
I think there was an iOS 8.3 untethered jailbreak around. So we have those two different types of mobile app management that the issues that there are these two fundamental different types and two ways of approaching mobile app management.
And it's always going to be the ones that are dependent on like the third party frameworks versus the OS frameworks. I guess it's just like kind of what Citrix adds on to core Windows remoting, where it's just, yes, Apple's always going to add more and more features, but the third party vendors are probably always going to be a few steps ahead. It just depends what they do.
And you can't be religious about it because there are use cases that call for one and use cases that call for the other. Now, of course, if you're a company that only deals with one type of it, you're going to sometimes they slip into the tendency of course being like, this is the right way to do it.
You mean if you're a vendor who only deals with that?
Yeah.
But best event. So who does that? Is it fair? Is big three like Citrix, VMware, and MobileIron? Is Good still a thing?
Good. Microsoft now coming up. BlackBerry with all of their iOS and Android products have a decent market share. IBM.
IBM was that was FiberLink.
Yeah.
So that's seven.
SAP.
Seriously?
There are still I should pull up there was the because there's Gartner has 11 that they rate in the
That just means they have 11 clients in that area. It doesn't mean
yeah. And like IDC has the their thing where they look at the revenue numbers and
so, but do all of these vendors for the most part, or there is a breakdown on which ones have sort of OS level frameworks, which ones offer OS and apps, and which ones only offer their own app frameworks?
Yeah, all of the ones that we mentioned so far, and all of the ones in Gartner, because it's a requirement of Gartner, basically is to have. Obviously, if you have MDM, you have control of the device-level frameworks. And to be an EMM vendor that does, that's general EMM, it means that you also have the app-level stuff. Now, there are also a handful of vendors that just concentrate on just app-level stuff. And there are also a whole bunch of vendors that do just the device-level stuff.
Okay, so let's.
So you get some partnerships there.
Okay, but now so far, here's my struggle.
We're still getting to like the big okay, like what about all of our apps question?
Yeah. I mean, because VMware and Citrix, I know. So I'm not familiar with Microsoft in the mobile space. VMware and Citrix are doing their darndest to convince, you know, the world that you have to manage your Windows apps and your mobile devices together. And that to me is one of the sort of like the $1 million question right now, because I don't know if that's true. You know, like I know that it's all about market share, and there's always talk about, well, you know, VMware has the biggest market share, but then you talk to Citrix or, you know, AirWatch, but they're like, oh yeah, but they were giving it away or practically giving it away just to buy market share, and not, you know, it's not because it's the best product and all this kind of stuff. And I really feel like Citrix and VMware are trying to convince you, like, you want to have one sort of, you know, workspace product that manages your Windows apps, your web apps, and your mobile apps, and all the device, like, kind of manages it all together. But so far, I don't, that, like, it doesn't seem like these are integrated. Like, you know, AirWatch and Horizon don't seem like, it's like two products that have the same sticker on it. They both come from the same vendor, and maybe they bundle them in terms of like a licensing deal. And but same with Citrix.
We're also seeing the clients converge a lot more.
But does that make it like that's sort of like forced? That's like saying like, what are two unrelated things? I do corn dogs and hubcaps, and that's my conglomerates. And I'm trying to convince you that everyone should be like, you know, eating corn dogs while I replace their hubcaps. And to prove it to you, I consolidate my offices into the same building. And when you buy a hubcap, you get a free corn dog.
But we're all talking about end user computing here. And so I want my apps and I want my data. I don't care what device I'm on. Like, it makes sense because we know that this user needs these apps and these data. What do we care what device that they're using?
Well, yeah, except the problem
and
is
like all, it's the same all, user's identity.
Yeah,
and
but all this mobile app management is only managing mobile apps. So I do care because, like, if you're going to be accessing whatever I'm doing on an iOS device, I'm giving you a different app than if you're accessing on a Windows device.
So,
like, in my mind, because even web pages are, there's very little crossover. Like, no one's running native Windows apps on mobile devices. Like, yeah, you can use, you know, like Citrix and desktop remote, but that's a part of Citrix. Like, no one's running native Windows apps on their tablets, and no one's running native mobile apps on their laptops. So in my mind, I do still have, and like you could argue all you want that, like, oh, users just need Salesforce, we don't care about platform, or they just need Office, we don't care about platform. But like, you do care about platform because you have to manage and figure out what Office app they're going to use on their mobile and what Office app they're going to use on their desktop, and like these are two separate things.
Right. So the idea is like when we go into our identity management system and say that this user is now a Salesforce user, and so that will hook into them and on their mobile device, it'll like make the Salesforce app pop up in their enterprise app store on their mobile device, and from whatever porthole they use to get all of their work applications on their desktop, there will be a Salesforce icon in there.
But that to me seems like that's not the hard problem. I mean, just making the icon pop into their screen, you know, that's a tick tick. It's a click box here. It's a click box here. If I have to click it on one place or two places, it seems like that's not the hard problem. Like, the hard problem is sort of the engineering and logistics and figuring out how the mobile Salesforce app hooks into everything, authenticates and data and all that, you know, how all that kind of works. Like, I just don't know how much the problem is. Damn it, when a user gets Salesforce, I want to make one click, god damn it. I don't want to do two clicks. And, like, is that, you know, that's what I'm saying. Like, I just don't know that that's a problem that we're trying to solve.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's also, like what about, so Windows 10.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, so Windows 10 will, you'll be able to manage it in all the traditional ways, you know, with all your group policy and everything. So like you wrote an article that's saying like, okay, Windows 10, like we should be able to just slide right into it because we can treat it just like we've been treating it for years. There's a start button and everything. But of course, Windows 10 also has MDM APIs so that you can manage it, treat it much more like all of your mobile devices.
Well, yeah, but now how...
Now, of course, you have...
Tell me... I don't know the answer.
Now, for that to happen, of course, like the question is, what about your classic Windows applications?
That's where I was going to go. That's where I was going with this. Because these MDM APIs, correct me if I'm wrong, these MDM APIs manage like the, you know, the new apps, the new Windows Store apps, the new, you know... The apps are delivered into the sort of, you know, walled garden, but that's not why I use Windows, you know, for those new apps. And it's even like people have even joked. I think like Skype, like Microsoft just finally got rid of the Windows Store app version of Skype, you know, and so like now that doesn't exist anymore. So it's only the old style app. So. You know, if you want to use Skype, you're not managing with your MDM API. Like for the issue for those like following, and basically, you know, Windows desktop apps, the apps of the enterprise that have been around for 20 years, you know, those are now called legacy apps or classic mode apps or whatever. And there's these new
CWAs
style apps.
Is the term CWA. That they're using. Classic Windows applications is the, it's, I've seen it in lots of places in
that's fine, CWA.
Microsoft. Yeah.
So classic Windows apps, and then you know the new Windows apps. You know, Microsoft tried to go back to the drawing board and say, "Hey, there are a lot of advantages of mobile devices in terms of applications are very easy to install and to remove." But the way you know on mobile OS is the way the applications interact with each other. It's very prescribed. It's very you know what an app can do and cannot do is very locked down and controlled, and how they interact is very locked down and controlled. And the problem is that Windows before that with classic Windows apps has had 20 years of the Wild West. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can't so just take because for example
the thing with managing Windows 10 with MDM is that you need to have your legacy Windows app situation in order like for that user to
yeah, so now I'm managing two. Like, I've got an MDM agent on this thing to manage the new Windows apps, and I've got an SCCM agent on it to manage the classic Windows apps.
You just put it in you just put, like, your Windows – whatever you're going to do to bring your classic Windows app into the new world, which, like, we have app refactoring or
But now – okay, so here's weird, too, because now So Citrix and VMware, they manage MDM and new applications, right?
Yeah.
So they could, theoretically, maybe they do this now, they could manage Windows 10 new apps, right?
Yeah.
They do that, both of them? I mean, or that's the thing? Or you're agreeing that, like, yeah, they could do that.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but now we're in this weird space. So, like, now if I got a Windows 10 desktop, do I use Citrix VMware to manage like the new MDM half of it, and I use you know like Altiris or SCCM to manage the old half, or VMware need to manage the old half of my desktop too? And then aren't they competing against Microsoft?
And this is a good question, and I think it would be like the stuff to manage the new apps. Like if you're doing things the old way. You can access all the APIs to manage like the new parts. Like the question is, when do you turn off the old way of management and just go to the MDM management?
The same day that you turn off your last classic Windows application,
or put it in VDI or in DAS or you know have your
yeah.
App
so the same day that I don't
or
the
have
same
your,
day that I do not have a classic Windows application installed
locally.
Locally, yeah.
Yeah. Don't
hold your breath, man.
For some users, that's next month, and some users that's 10 years from now.
I like to talk to those next month users,
because
this is interesting. Because okay, so Microsoft has an EMM product.
Microsoft Intune.
Okay, so if I buy...
Formerly Windows Intune.
If I... Okay, all right, right, because now it's not... It's beyond... So, because now it does iOS, right, and Android and everything. So if I buy that, do I need to buy Citrix Xen Mobile?
In theory, no, because...
Okay, and so if I buy Citrix Xen Mobile, do I buy Microsoft Intune?
It depends on what you're doing with, to manage all of your traditional classic Windows applications.
Because this is weird, because now, so Microsoft and Citrix are competing here.
Oh, yeah.
Huh. But you know, they're on stage together, like, arms around each other, and, look how buddies we are. So for your classic Windows apps and your classic Windows desktops, you need Citrix. But Citrix is trying to convince you that for your new Windows, your new mobile apps, you should use them too. And they're trying to force it to be integrated together. And now there's only one Citrix iOS client app, and it's going to be like your quote MDM client and your Citrix receiver, client kind of in the same app and everything like that.
Yeah.
But yet Microsoft.
And actually, for sure, I've seen AirWatch and Mobile Iron have been much more aggressive about talking about managing Windows 10 with MDM than Citrix has.
But managing Windows 10 with MDM, hang on, I'm writing that down. VMware more aggressive Win 10 with MDM. Because obviously VMware and Microsoft are like openly, competitors, and
yeah.
Citrix.
And like Mobile Iron, they're like,
Mobile
this
Iron,
is the way
I
of
have.
The future, of course.
Mobile Iron needs to partner with, I was going to say Altiris, but that's owned by Symantec, and Symantec has about a dozen MDM products, I think.
So Microsoft Intune is now, of course, the classic Microsoft strategy is do 80% of the functionality, and if you want the super more advanced stuff, then you're going to another EMM vendor. One of the possible issues with Microsoft Intune that has been percolating in the EMM industry for the last 6 or 9 months is that all of the great new Office apps for iOS and Android, they have those built-in management APIs. Except those built-in management APIs can only be managed with Intune.
Didn't they get in trouble for that 15 years ago or so?
So there's all of the most of the EMM vendors, they have all of their partners that have their partner ISVs build their SDK into their applications, so all of their partners' apps can do all of that interoperability together using the app-level mobile app management frameworks. And Microsoft is saying, hey, we're doing that too, and our ecosystem of partner applications also happens to include Real Office.
Right, and they're the only ones that are... So Microsoft... Microsoft Intune can manage Real Office better than Citrix Xen Mobile can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
if you want to manage Real Office, you need Microsoft Intune.
Yeah.
And what does the Citrix sales rep say about that?
I still see all sorts of materials about hey, XYZ EMM vendor and Office 365, look at how we can use the two of them together. Except they're talking a lot about previous use cases that have always been the case with augmenting Office 365.
So getting back to the sort of core question here, I'm still not convinced that I am convinced about the MDM side, the new side of Windows 10 being managed by an EMM vendor in an EMM way. I'm down with that 100%.
Mm-hmm.
But the old way. The CWA side of things, classic Windows apps, that's not going away anytime soon. And there's the argument about do you silo them onto VDI?
Yeah. So that's a big question. And I posed this question in an article, was that just last week?
About are you going to use EMM for Windows 10 or whatever?
Yeah. And some people responded on Twitter saying, hey, this is pretty interesting. I'm looking at this tweet here you know, I said, like, here's how much real interest there is. Brian Katz said, a lot more than most people think.
He works at a vendor now, so yeah. who is in the business of selling, you know, these products? Just
right, right. There were some non-vendor people that responded on Twitter of being interested, and yeah, maybe like this is like your road warrior that's on, like that's on airplanes 180 days a year when they're. Like when it makes sense to manage their laptop much more like a mobile device than to manage it like a desktop.
But again, you can't do that for the CWA side of things.
But like is your road warrior going to have as many like intense CWAs as like your person that's sitting in front of the desk with like eight different monitors of Excel and pivot tables and everything working?
Yeah,
working that way. Or like the person using like PDS and everything, like your road warrior, like they care about their email and more other things that can be that are all accessible in the new world. I'm making quotes. Like anybody that's ever considered like, hey, I think I'm just gonna only travel with my iPad on this trip. Like if you're able to do that, then you're able to travel with a laptop that's managed with MDM.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you use right now that would have to be a CWA?
Well, let me just see what apps are open right now on my laptop. Mail, command prompt.
Mail. That's a new world app.
Yeah. I got a VM open. The only reason the VM open is because of my hobby, which is writing pinball software. And so I've got the local stuff around there, but that's not.
So the question is, I don't know what version of Fusion they are now. Did you download that Fusion from the Apple App Store?
Oh, it's on the App Store now?
No. I'm asking you.
No, I'm asking you. Fusion's in the App Store?
I don't know.
Oh, you're being joking. Like, right, because. Wait, how do I get to the App Store? That's curious. Yeah, that'd be interesting. But probably not, right? Because App Store apps are walled gardened also, right? So Fusion probably can't do what it needs to do.
And also look at all the other products that this is another interesting trend that what WorkSpot and the recent like the last Mocha 5 product that they were rolling out before they unfortunately ended. Like that WorkSpot and that Mocha 5 are essentially they're like the equivalent of app level mobile app management for desktop. So it's like having all of your management and everything. Well, I guess it's sort of just like any other type 2 hypervisor or VM or something.
Well, okay, right. And to your point, like I'm looking at my apps that I have running on my laptop right now. And the only sort of classic Windows apps I have are related to my hobby of writing pinball software. So it's the IDE that I use and kind of stuff. So, but the actual sort of like work apps I use, it's Firefox, it's Evernote, Slack, 1Password, Preview, App Store, Mail.
I look at the applications that our sales reps are out there using. And it seems to me that a lot of those like road warrior type people I think probably there's a larger subset than you might have been initially assuming that would be able to live just in the new world and not need to have CWAs.
Okay, so we talked an hour on this. We're not done talking. I'm looking at the calendar right now. I do not see a podcast scheduled for next Tuesday. Do you know if we have one, Justin?
We have one next Thursday.
Oh, okay. So maybe we'll do Tuesday anyway. I mean, because like we haven't even scratched the surface of the app refactoring and VMI and this kind of stuff. And I'm still not convinced about that mobile management and desktop management are the same? Should they be the same? Like, there's a lot more to talk about here.
Yeah.
But we could go, I mean, let's...
Yeah. I guess let me, the last conclusion statement that I'll make as we run over time, is really to not think of EMM as like just managing the MDM APIs on the device, or just like pushing and configuring an app and making sure it has a passcode. EMM is really becoming a lot more glue that's involved in a lot more places. It's the identity management stuff. It's the, hey, this EMM gives us insight into the device and the applications that we can use as metrics to make decisions as to whether or not we ask for a second factor of authentication to get into this app and stuff like that. So I see it as the expanding like glue that's, as we move into this new world of web apps and new style apps and new style devices, it's everything that you use to hold that new world together and policy that's aware of all of it. That's EMM.
I agree with that 100%. The million-dollar question to me is, does that glue also apply to the classic world and classic Windows apps? Is that its own glue, or is the classic its own glue, and do we get that these two different glues from the same vendor two different vendors? Is there a real reason for them to be from the same vendor apart from the fact that like they sell them to you both at the same time?
Yeah.
That is where we'll pick up next week on this conversation. So mobile guy today, Jack Madden. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I'm desktop guy, Brian Madden. So thank you for listening. This, I feel like, is a fantastic conversation. I think the best conversation we've had, just because this is the exact same conversation that Jack and I would have over whiskey drinks at night. So I like having this conversation now. Let's pick up next week. Justin, thank you so much for doing what you do with, you know, faders and headphones and typing. He's giving us a thumbs up. And hey, thank you all for listening. And let's go write some articles for this week, and we'll see you all back here next week. Thank you so much.